Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read that very soon. Yeah, we're going to begin adding another layer to this series that we began a wee while ago called The Time Is Now. And I want to go a little bit deeper, actually become more specific by looking at the spiritual gifts that Paul identifies here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just a little bit of background, and for our information, the nine gifts that Paul mentions, which I'll read very soon, they are not an exhaustive list. There are other gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given us that Paul doesn't identify, but they're mentioned in Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, and you can find that out for yourself. But the series that we're in at the moment focuses on the person, because the Holy Spirit is a person. It focuses in on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, what He does. So with that in mind, can any of you tell us why Jesus then sent the Holy Spirit? Just shout it out. Why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Comfort, absolutely. That's actually in His word, the word comfort. Yep. What else? Empower. Yep.
Guide.
To give revelation, understanding. Yeah, anything else? Sorry? I missed that. Count to counsel, absolutely. Yep, he's the counselor, the Greek paraclete to come alongside. He's an advocate, like a lawyer in that sense, to come alongside and advocate on your behalf. Yep. Anything else that the Holy Spirit does? Convicts us of sin and of righteousness. Yeah. Inspire. Yeah, all of those things are true. All of those adjectives are true. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower, to enable the church. I said this last week, and I really want you to get this in your spirit. The Holy Spirit was not given to the world. He was given to the church, to us. In the very first instance, He was sent to the church to come and live in us and through us. And through those gifts that God has already given each one of us, we are then to witness with courage and confidence and boldness and even authority about the kingdom of God until He returns. That's our job. He gave us that responsibility until He returns. Well, that pretty much sums it up why the Holy Spirit was given. Let's read now 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read 1 through to 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Here's a little test for you. If you don't think you have the Holy Spirit, if you don't think that you do, then you will not be able to repeat the following phrase, Jesus is Lord. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you will be able to say, Jesus is Lord. Shall we do that? Jesus is Lord. Who didn't say it? It's okay. You can remain incognito. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Did you notice? Father, Son, Holy Spirit mentioned there. Spirit, Jesus, God. the Trinity. It all comes from there. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for our benefit, in other words. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He, meaning God, distributes them to each one, listen, just as He determines. God gives them as He sees fit. Not because I think I should or shouldn't. He gives them according to His will and His purpose to you, Dave. There's a key to understanding the spiritual gifts that's really important. And it's this, that the gifts that God has given us have a unity of source, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They come from that Trinity. They don't come from anywhere else. They come from the Father. So there is a unity in source, verses 4 to 6. But they also have a unity in purpose. There is a reason for why they have been given. And that is to say that the gifts were given not for personal enrichment, although they do enrich us at a personal level. But they've not been given just to do that. They've been given for the building up of one another. Verse 7 says, for the common good, the building up of the body of Christ. You know, at last Sunday night we had the Equip event. And that's about kind of the moving in the gifts of the Spirit and praying for people to encourage them in what God has already given them. Or if they have a desire on their heart and they believe God has given them whatever, then we can pray into that for them and inspire them. Hopefully that they will be really encouraged with that and begin to use what God has given them. So that was last Sunday night. Well, 30-odd people were here for that. And they came, you could tell, you just had to be in the atmosphere of the room in the Lakeside Lounge. They were, 8 a.m., were just hungry for what God is wanting to do. And the worship, oh my goodness gracious me, I can't remember, what was that song that we sang, the third one? The blessing song. You had to be there to kind of just feel what God was doing. Hey, Robbie? And it was like the roof was going to lift off. That's right. The room's all, it's got lousy acoustics in it. But anyway, the room, it was just like the place you were in. It was like being in a different place, but I knew where we were. It was just extraordinary what God was doing in the hearts of our people. And I got to tell you, that folk left that evening built up and encouraged, which is the reason for the gifts. The Spirit of God came and built into people's lives and people were encouraged. It was a terrific time. It was a great night. And you see, what happened at Equip on Sunday night is entirely consistent with what Paul describes here in Acts. Same thing. The Holy Spirit gives a diversity of gifts so that individuals can serve the Lord and His body in various ways. Please don't miss this really, 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 really important point. Different gifts are needed for the body of Christ to grow healthy. We need the diversity of the gifts of the Spirit. We absolutely need them. No one should ever think that what God has given them is less than the person next to them. That somehow your gift is inferior or unimportant. Firstly, the gifts are from God. What you have, the Creator of the universe has given to you. This is God. He gave it to you. That alone should elicit our worship and our adoration, that God would do that for me. But also, He has carefully arranged, He's distributed these gifts according to His perfect will. So don't try to take something that doesn't belong to you. Accept what God has given you and do something with that. Work with that. Develop that. Verse 18 says, all these, meaning the gifts, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each just as He determines. You know, our responsibility is to discover what God has gifted us to do and then operate in that. Please do not compare yourself to someone else. Take responsibility for the gift or the gifts that God has given you, and you will be who God made you to be. You are unique. God wants you to operate in what He has uniquely given you. Does that make sense, church? Be who God made you to be, not who the world tries to impose upon you that you should be. Be who God made you to be. Stay in that. You know, you've heard me say this before, probably many, many times. The gifts that we've been given are not toys to play with, church. They're tools to work with for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. Okay, so respecting then diversity and unity. Paul emphasizes that the gifts of the Spirit do not operate in opposition to each other, but in fact they exist to complement one another. He says, verse 7, for the common good. If we've got gifts that are working against one another, that's not for the common good of anybody. Well, whatever God is doing, when the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate, there is a commonality about it that the whole body of Christ is built up. Everyone benefits from it and by it. They're not working again. There's this kind of this zipping that goes on when the Spirit of God begins to move. He knits it all together into one beautiful tapestry. That's what God does for the common good. And for us here, if you're not using what God has already given to you, if you're just kind of sitting on your talent, you miss out. The church misses out. The kingdom of God misses out, and everyone loses. Please use what God has given you. I can't stress this enough. You have a gift, at least one. In fact, the New Testament talks about gifts in the plural sense. That God has given for the reason and the purpose that Ephesians outlines, to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There is nothing in there about individualism. There is nothing in there about me, myself, and I. It's about us, the body of Christ. The gifts have been given to the church for the building up of the church, for the encouragement, for the comfort of the church, for the restoring even of the church, for the empowering of the church. And as a result of that, others see it from the outside and say, wow, I want what they're having. I want what they've got. And you let the Spirit of God do that. You just be you. You know, one day, folks, we will all stand before God and He will ask this question. He will say, Paul, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I put into your hand? And I don't know about you, you know, but I do want to hear these words. I absolutely do. Well done, good and faithful servant. Is anyone with me? I want to hear those words. That's not arrogance. That's being able to go before God and it's like, did I get one talent, three or two or five, you know? And I did something with what you gave me, God. I didn't like the guy that got one talent because of fear, buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. I don't want to be in that camp. I don't care whether it's one talent that God's given me or 20 of the jolly things. Whatever He's given me, I want to do something with it, not for my sake so much, but for His glory, to glorify His name through that talent. You know, I was saying to Claire, Claire's up the back there. Did you see this girl here? First time she sung here this morning. Claire, thank you, Claire. Using that talent, but did you know she's only been here 5 minutes? Well, a bit longer than 5 minutes. Her husband, Anthony, over there, they've been here a little bit long. Here's my point, though. Here's my point. New to the church, got a child, family, all of that stuff, and saying, well, where can I serve? What can I do with what God has given me? And here she is, up the front, singing, using that gift and that talent. Thank you, Claire, for your obedience. And you know, there's a whole bunch of you out there that have got gifts and talents that we have yet to see you use. And I'm saying in this church, you have permission to use them. You have permission here to put them to work. You really do. You know, what was it about the church in Acts, the Acts church that stood out, that was undeniable? It was vibrant, it was full of life. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, were central in everything that they did. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 then singles out nine, which are, there are many, many more gifts, but he singles out nine of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, that they've been given for the building up of the body of Christ. And Paul said to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. So there's something about what God has given us that needs, we kind of need to step across that line and say, okay, God, here I am. Let me use it. I'm going to give this a go. You know, he's trusted you with it. Do something with it. So with all that in mind, I just want to speak very briefly about this gift that I want to talk about this morning, because I'm going to go through a few of them in the next few weeks. The first gift I want to talk about is the gift of word of knowledge, which he mentions. So what's a word of knowledge, or a wok? W-O-K? It's okay. All right. What's a word of knowledge? In its simplest form, a word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit transmitting his knowledge about a person or a situation to you that you would not normally or naturally know about. In that sense, a word of knowledge is a supernatural insight into a person or a situation given directly to you by the Holy Spirit, not by your own reason or intellect. Okay? So you could be I'll give an example a little later on, but you could be thinking about cooking dinner tonight, and then all of a sudden, excuse me, the name of a person comes into your mind, someone that you know, maybe in the life of our church here, and that the name of that person will come into your mind, and there will be kind of a sense that, wow, I need to stop and pray for them. I don't know what's going on, but I just sense God saying I need to pray for that person. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You weren't thinking about them. You're thinking about dinner. But then all of a sudden it came left field. It's not a natural thing. It's kind of unnatural in that way. Well, that could very well be a word of knowledge that God has given you for whoever that person is and their situation. It's supernatural insight. And it enables us to target a specific issue that someone is facing so as to often, in this case, disarm the works of the enemy. God gives them to us so we can be of a help and assistance to that person to work with the enemy who's trying to take them out or trying to do something nasty in their life, and you can actually stand in the gap with that word of knowledge and pray into that situation on their behalf. And when we're praying in that way, it's praying also with wisdom and understanding to see them free from whatever it is that God has given you. And it's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul in the very first verse makes this important statement. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I think the King James says ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts or uninformed. See, Paul wanted them to understand that the Corinthians in the Acts church, that before they were converted, they had been people that had worshipped idols. In other words, they'd worshipped demons, false gods. But now Paul was saying to them, as followers of Jesus, you belong to him. You belong to Christ. You belong to the living God. And one of Satan's strategies is to create disorder in a person's life or confusion. How many can relate to that? Disorder and confusion. The enemy will come in and try to do this. One of his favorite tactics. 1 Corinthians 14, a little later on, says, God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Therefore, a word of knowledge must be something that one can understand and comprehend. It's not gobbledygook. Here's the point I want to make when you're operating with word of knowledge. A word given that creates confusion is not a word from God. There must be understanding. It must be able to be comprehended. Otherwise, it is not from God. That's one of the tests that you can put into practice. So, a couple of things. How do we receive a word of knowledge? Well, this is where it gets a little bit experiential. I mean, there are different ways. But I've got one, two, three, four, five ways that I'm aware of. So, receiving a word of knowledge can come as a feeling. It could be a physical feeling or an emotional feeling. So a word of knowledge could come in that way. For some people, you have a word of knowledge because you see a picture in your mind. Just something comes in, you know, that person's name or a picture. I see Dave when I'm out for one of my walks or something. I'm not thinking about Dave, but next minute there he is, kind of thing. And so perhaps God's wanting me to intercede for Dave. I don't know what's going on in his life, but there's something that's going on. And so, okay, God, I just bless that man, you know, keep him safe. That kind of thing. It's not kind of spooky. Another word of knowledge can come by just thinking. Like I just said, I've kind of just said it, the word pops into your mind. That's another way, into your spirit. How about this one? You can get a word of knowledge through dreams. That's biblical. It can come in that way. Or reading the Bible. While you're reading through the Bible, you get a sense of what you're reading, whatever it happens to be. You get a sense that this is a specific word for a specific person or situation. And you're doing your daily reading. And think, oh, wow, okay, God, this could be for whoever. And sometimes, I've actually never seen this, but I've certainly heard about it. Sometimes you can actually see the word, whatever it happens to be, over the person. In your mind's eye, you can see the word, you know, whatever it happens to be. See, a word of knowledge can cover anything from something very trivial, such as you might have misplaced your car keys. Has anyone ever done that apart from me? Yeah, you know, this is the truth. Of course it's a true story, because I'm a pastor. It must be true. When we were new Christians up in Auckland, back in the day when we didn't have children, we had plenty of money. So I bought this new car, and for some reason I was out at Glenfield. I'd driven out there for something in this nice new car, and I had my wallet. Back in the days when you used cash, I had $300. Jim, can you believe that? $300 in my wallet. I mean, that never happens now. You know, I usually have bills for $300, but, you know. Anyway, I had $300 in cash, physically, in my wallet. And for some reason, I had misplaced my wallet in this jolly car that I was in. And I was freaking out, because even back then, $300 was a lot of money. I thought, how am I going to tell Christine? You know, and we're newly married too. Anyway, yeah, exactly. I'm a new Christian. I'd only been a Christian for a few months. And I remember stopping wherever I was in that car, sitting in the driver's seat. And I remember saying, okay, God, I have no idea where my wallet is. This is true. This is exactly as it happened. Glenfield of all places. Can anything good come out of Glenfield? So I'm there. Yeah, well, hey, Richard, that's my point. So I prayed this very, very simple prayer, and absolutely, as God is my judge, the Holy Spirit, well, it had to be the Holy Spirit said, look in the glove box. Yeah. I opened up the glove box and guess what? There was nothing there. Not a thing. And I thought, what on earth? And then God said to me, look at the back of the glove box. And what had happened was I had put my wallet in the glove box for some ridiculous reason, but there was a gap between the back of the glove box compartment. There was a gap like that, and inadvertently the wallet had gone in behind. It was in behind the dashboard. And there it was. The sigh of relief, I can tell you, when I went back under the other, and now you might think, you know, well, Paul, that's kind of just coincidence. Maybe. Maybe it was a coincidence. But I tell you what, I prayed, and all of a sudden, I had my wallet. That's what I can tell you. Thank you. Don't discount those kind of what seem natural, normal things. When you ask God to get involved, He wants to get involved. Does anyone here pray for car parks? I'm not sure about car parking. I'm going to move on. Christine does. Christine prays for car parks. Seems to work for her. Never works for me. Works for her. Well, there you go. There you go. Anyway, let's move on. A word of knowledge can also be given to warn of an impending danger or even to avert a crisis. Here's another, this my experience. A few years later after the wallet experience, we'd shifted to Christchurch and we're down there, living down there and going to a particular church, a really neat church too. And so we're involved in the life of the church, and I'd become the a deacon, overseas missions deacon, a job that I did not want. But they said, would you do the job? And I said, I'm here to serve, so that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, I'd come now, and so you'd go to the meetings with the senior pastor and the deacon's court, they call them. We call them managers in our church. And once a month, you'd have this meeting and talk about your area of responsibility, a little bit like we do here. Anyway, during the course of this, we were praying, just at some point, we were praying about the church and all the rest of it. And I don't know what I was thinking about at the time, but all of a sudden, I had a picture in my mind. This is exactly as it happened. This picture of lengths of 4x2 building material, you know, in a big jumbled pile. Not you know when you see them come off the back of the ITM truck and they're in a orderly fashion and they're all wrapped up and everything is kind of nice and neat and they deliver them to the building site. Well, these pieces of 4x2, there are lots and lots of them. They're all jumbled up like if you got matchsticks and rummaged and threw them on the table, that kind of thing. It was a real mess. So, and I don't know what even we were praying about, but this picture came into my mind and I thought, that's odd. And it didn't go away. It stayed. It lingered. And I was too afraid to say anything about it within the meeting because, I mean, I was only a new Christian and what do I know? But I figured that if it meant something, then I should go to the senior pastor and share it with him. And he can discern it. Fair enough. So I made an appointment during the week to meet with him. And I shared what I just told you. And I kind of just sat there and I thought, okay, well, what do you think? Well, he thought about it for a wee while. He said, well, Paul, I'm not exactly sure, but the sense that I have is that this is probably about your life, that my life's a mess. Well, that was probably true at one level. But, you know, I was coming to faith, still learning about my faith in God. So I'm kind of thinking, yeah, maybe. And that was kind of it. So we talked it through and he prayed for me. And I left and I just got on with life. 3 months later, that senior pastor resigned from the church because the relationship between him and the associate pastor was a mess. And no one knew. And when the word came through the resignation had come through, no one knew it was coming. It was like God said to me, that's what I showed you. That's what it was about. And I'm not trying to be arrogant here. I'm just simply saying I had this picture that came left field. I wasn't even thinking about that kind of thing. And it was in a prayer meeting with all of these other people. And that's the picture that God gave me. And I did the right thing with it. I went and shared it with my upline, with the senior at there. And it was up to him to discern whether it was about me or whatever. And for reasons that I can't tell you, he said it was about me. But 3 months later, that's what happened. Interesting too, on that issue, so it was a breakdown of relationship between the two pastors, and it was a real mess, believe me, it was awful. 4 years later, exactly the same thing happened in that church with the senior pastor and the associate pastor. Do you know why? Because they never dealt with the cause of the first one. They just never dealt with it. And you may be thinking, why am I sharing that with you? Because we've got two pastors here too. Is there a problem? Jim, is there a problem? Not that I know of, mate. Not that I know of. I'm only sharing it with you as an illustration, but it's a live illustration. God can give you something. Don't just dismiss it as this is my own rationale. It might be. But go talk to somebody, go talk to the elders, come and talk to us and share it with us and let's discern it together. So word of knowledge, it's about building up the body of Christ. And those gifts, that gifts of word of knowledge, some of you out there have got this gift. Some of you use it and some of you are sitting on it. Please don't sit on it. Another way a word of knowledge can come. Someone might say, I have the number 5 strongly in my mind. Well, that's a bit vague. What does it mean? 5 fingers? 5 toes? What does that mean? $5? Who knows? It's a bit vague. So what do you do with that? Well, in those instances, it's entirely appropriate to say something like this. I'm seeing or hearing the number 5. But I have no idea what it means. Does that mean something to someone? Just ask that question. Actually, last Sunday night at Equip, that very thing happened. Pastor Phil, who was leading the teaching, he was praying for the evening, and he said God gave him the word 2nd of May. That was it. 2nd of May, God gave him that word. So at the beginning of our meeting last Sunday night, as he was just doing some teaching and before we started praying for one another, he shared that. And he said, does that mean anything to anybody? And no one said a thing. And we're all kind of sitting there, remember this? We're kind of waiting. And after a few seconds, Phil, he said, oh, well, maybe I got it wrong. And he just moved on and we carried on and got on with the evening. Well, a little later on, someone did share that word, the 2nd of May, was significant for them. But because it conjured up a lot of emotion for them at the time, they just couldn't come forward and respond to that word. But later on in the meeting, they were confident enough, they felt comfortable and secure enough to be able to respond to that word. And a couple of the ladies went over and prayed for them and helped them work through whatever was going on. See, it can come as simple as that. Here's my point. You might share something like, you know, I just get the word the 2nd of May, and no one responds. Don't be disappointed. Okay, well, I got it wrong maybe. And just let the Holy Spirit do the rest. You know, that's how we learn. Here's another key for operating in this gift. It's best not to try to interpret the word of knowledge yourself. Don't try to interpret it yourself. Rather, give the word and allow the Holy Spirit to deliver it to whoever it is for. That's what happened last Sunday night. That person received it, but because of the space that they were in at that point in time, they could not respond to it. We understand that. But at some point, they did respond. So the word was correct. Sometimes you've just got to just let God be God in this stuff and let him do his thing. You know, and if someone responds, God will always honor his word. And if no one responds, oh well, just, okay, I'll learn from that and move on. Other times, and this is usually evident with those who have a lot of experience with words of knowledge. A word of knowledge, if you've got a lot of experience, can be very, very specific. It can now identify the person, the issue, the problem, and even how it happened. That's those that have got more experience, and you, and we grow as we mature. That's what Ephesians talks about, growing in our maturity with the gifts of the Spirit so that all of us are built up in love. So some of you will be at the kind of the baby stage, the first rung of the ladder. That's okay because that's where we start. Some of you might be two or three steps up, and some of you might be operating at a level up here somewhere, and we're all kind of bowing down to you. No, just kidding. But, you know, you'll be operating at a higher level because you've been doing this for many, many years. That's great. All of it together. This is what I want you to hear. We need all of it together operating. Not just the super spirry kind of people. We need your gift, church. We need your gift operating. This is important. When the Holy Spirit identifies if it's for a person and not necessarily a situation, we need to act with caution and great wisdom, especially in a public setting. You'll notice for those of you that were there last Sunday night, Pastor Phil acted with great wisdom when he was sharing some of his stuff. That's true. He was, there's stuff that he didn't say because we were in a public setting. But I'm sure privately he was able to go to that person and say whatever it was. You have to exercise caution in a public setting. So before doing anything, take a moment to review the words in your mind and try then to evaluate the impact that it could have. Ask yourself this: if I share what I sense in my spirit, is it going to help? If it's for a person specifically, if what I'm going to share in this public way, is it going to help this person or harm this person? Ask yourself that question. You see, because God never embarrasses, God never hurts, God never harms. He does not do that. John 1:17 tells us that Jesus came as grace and truth. Grace first, then truth. You know, I've seen believers, good people too, by the way, have a word for somebody, and it was had more to do with truth than grace. And of course, the word was not received, and it won't be received. It's not about trying to expose a person. It's actually about trying to build them up. Grace first, and then truth. Because grace, it is out of grace that truth unfolds, not the other way around. So be wise. If you're going to operate in this gift, be wise with it. And the most common way that the Holy Spirit transmits a word of knowledge is through an inner knowing, a hunch sometimes, a sense that you have, or an intuition. See, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our human spirit. So all of a sudden you can have a what I would describe as a without a doubt type of knowing. And it's usually outside of your own natural thoughts. You can't explain it, but the word or the thought, it kind of just lingers there. A little bit like the 4x2s, the jumble of the 4x2s. It just wouldn't go away. There it was, so I needed to go and share it to do something with it. Couldn't get it out of my mind. Actually, last Sunday, when I was preaching here last Sunday, during the message, while I was talking, I had someone in our congregation, my eyes just locked onto them. This is in a spiritual sense I'm talking about. My eyes just locked onto them while I'm still talking, because this is how it works for me. And I had a word for that person while I was speaking about something else. See, I'm like a woman, I can multifunction. Anyway, it's a gift. Anyway, I'm just kidding with you. I had this word for them. I saw them and I was looking at them while I'm still talking about whatever. And in my spirit, it was kind of, God, do I respond? Do I do something with that now while I'm preaching, or do I leave it alone and go up to them afterwards? And I felt God say, you know, just move on, leave it as it is. So I did, and we finished the mess, finished the service. I went into the, and the word was very clear. It was for them was that God was preparing them, or had prepared them to step into a ministry here in the life of our church. It was a very specific word. But for reasons I cannot explain to you, I felt it was not right to share it publicly at that time. So privately, so I go to them, sit down with them while they're having a coffee. And I said, da-da-da-da-da, and this is what happened during the service, and I explained. As I'm explaining, they start smiling. And they said, what you don't know is that for the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about starting up a new life group. And I said, what you don't know is that the elders have been praying for that for weeks. And so the word was true. Going to the person afterwards, I'm not going to tell you who it is at this point, but going to them afterwards was really, really encouraging for them. They'd been praying about it, they believed it was right, and now here's the confirmation. This is how God works. Just something as simple as that. Don't dismiss it as being kind of, this is just my thoughts. Don't do that, church. It could very well be God. Word comes into your imagination. You know, some people have wild imaginations. Would that be true? So a word of knowledge needs to be discerned. And if you're not sure, submit it to the elders. Submit it to the leadership. Let them figure it out. You might make some mistakes along the way. That's okay. In this church, that's okay. You got permission to fail here. You got permission to make a mistake or two. Just learn from it, that's all. That's all we would ask. No one's going to beat you up if you say something you believe God is saying this and it's not quite right or it's even wrong. It's a learning curve. You just learn. I know, how many of you, when you transitioned from your trike, your three-wheeler trike, to a two-wheeler without training wheels, how many of you rode your two-wheeler the first time without falling over? How many did that? How many of you crashed like I did? Yeah, probably most of us, if not all of us. Well, it's kind of like that too. It's kind of like that. You might not be successful the first time, third time maybe. But over time you learn, and you learn to discern, and you learn to trust that inner witness in your spirit. You know, in this church, no one will put you down or think less of you for trying, even if you get it wrong. No one will think less of you. It simply won't happen. Music team, Jim, could you bring the team up, please? It's worth noting also that with a word of knowledge, like all the gifts, I believe, we are always in control of ourselves when the Holy Spirit is at work. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. A word of knowledge, you are in control, you know what's going on, your mind is functioning properly. There's not this bizarre stuff of, barking like dogs and roaring like lions and all this kind of nonsense. It's simply not God. It really is. Could God do that? Yeah, he could, but I doubt it. Why would he do that? You know, I don't get that. So I just don't believe that that's God at all, although I've heard people try to say that it is. So what I'm really wanting to just alert you to, God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. In fact, later on in Corinthians, it says that, chapter 14, I think, God's a God of order. So it's never, if God gives you something, you know what it is. It's not that common spooky, gobbledygooky stuff. It's not like that. Any manifestation that robs a person of self-control, watch my lips, is not of God. You know how I know that? Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So there's always a sense of we know what's going on here. It might be a surprise, but we know what's going on here. And for us today, I believe that the gift of the word of knowledge is going to be pivotal in the season that we're in now and going forward. I absolutely believe that. In fact, that word came through last Sunday night. And the word's been given. When a word is given, it's given for the profit of everybody. It's given for the building up of the body of Christ.